Before we get to the episode, I've got something free for you. I'd love to give you a pack of Canva Instagram story templates and Pinterest templates that go with your unique brand's vibes. Whether you're more bright and colorful or more sophisticated and polished, I've got you covered. Take my website personality quiz at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz and you'll be matched with a few gorgeous DIYable website templates that would be perfect for your ideal client's vibes. You'll also get 10% off your template purchase from my shop, a free month subscription to Show It, a full brand personality profile to tell you what design your client is looking for, and of course, those awesome Canva templates. You can get it all now for free at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz. Now, here's the episode. Hey guys, I'm Elizabeth McCravey, a website designer and business coach for entrepreneurs and your host for the Breakthrough Brand Podcast, the show that's all about pulling back the curtain on how to actually build a successful business. I don't skim the surface around here. If you want a deep dive into the nitty-gritty details of what it takes to run a successful business and stand out in a crowd, you're in the right place. After creating a multiple six-figure-a-year website design business in my 20s, I'm ready to share everything I've learned and everything I'm still learning because I believe the keys to building a thriving business should never be a secret. Here you'll find episodes that are actionable, direct, and fun, like French chatting business over coffee and a fresh, honest take on the reality of being an entrepreneur. If you're ready to master online marketing, branding, website design, mindset, and business strategy, then this is the podcast for you. It's time to build your breakthrough brand. Let's do this. All right, guys, you are going to love my guest today, Coley James. I've known her online now for years, and we even got to meet in person in January of this year at a conference. And she's just wonderful and inspiring and so knowledgeable about systems and all things business. She started out as a family photographer, which she still does, as you'll hear her share, but she now mainly does systems for creatives. And today we're talking about things like automation in your business, systems to save you time, how to strategically repurpose your content. She has some great ideas on this, how to automate your business for more life freedom, which I absolutely love that part of the conversation. And we talk about Booked Out Designer because she's in my course and so much other things. And I want to add right here from the get-go, we are going to talk about Dubsado in this episode, which is the CRM I use and also what Coley uses as well. And if you don't know what that means, do not worry if you're like, what's a CRM? What's Dubsado? It's fine. You're going to hear some about that in this episode. But if you want to save on your Dubsado subscription and check out Dubsado, use my code Elizabeth3030 to get 30% off of your Dubsado subscription. So it is an affiliate code, so I'll get a little kickback for you using my code, which I so appreciate. And I'll also link to a resource page about Dubsado in the show notes below where you're listening to this episode. So you can click if you're like, I want to read more about this, how it's different from other tools and all that good stuff. You can read about it there. So excited for you to hear this conversation. Here is my conversation with Coley James.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. You know, I'm a huge fangirl. I'm so excited to be here. Okay, so who I am and what I do. I am Coley James. I'm based right outside of Boulder, Colorado, and I have two sides to my business. I do family filmmaking and photography. I've done that since 2012, so well over a decade. And then I'm also a system strategist. So I help creative business entrepreneurs set up the back-end systems in their business so that they can spend less time doing administrative stuff and more time either with their family or servicing more of the clients that they love.
Love that. I love how clear that is too. And okay, yeah, 2012 with your photography and filmmaking business, I wanted to talk about that with you for a minute because first of all, you just say you're still doing it. So you have both things. So what does that look like balancing the two different businesses?
So I will say if you'd asked me this like 9 months ago, like at the end of 2022, my answer would have been very different. But at the end of 2022, I made the decision to basically stop accepting new photography clients in my business. Okay. So while I still have two branches to my business, the majority of my photography clients right now are people that I've worked with 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, they've been with me for almost the entire time that I've had a business. And so I have slowly but surely like creeped down on the marketing aspect for photography, which of course I just shifted into the system side of my business. So, I mean, if I had to give you a number right now, it's probably 70-30. 70% of my business is systems and 30% of my business is still family filmmaking and photography.
That's cool. And it's cool that you're keeping it where it's like both, so you can really relate to the photographers and that you're working with and helping. When you decided to start the systems business and be like, hey, I'm not doing photography 100% and filmmaking 100% anymore, what was that like and what caused you to move that direction instead of keeping what you're doing?
So it's ironic. This is a podcast episode. It was a podcast episode. it was actually my first guest episode. I was on my friend Anami Tonkin's podcast, This Can't Be That Hard, and she was bringing me on. This was height of the pandemic, so 2020, summer of 2020. She brought me on her podcast for two episodes. I was doing one where I was the guest. She was interviewing me all about CRMs and systems, and then I held a roundtable for her. I was the host, and we had people that had like different CRMs, all photographers. And so after the first episode, we stopped hitting record and I was like, that's the next thing I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to offer systems for offer. Because I had been doing systems for a really long time, but it was only like in the vein of helping my mentoring students. Because I've been doing photography coaching like almost since the beginning. 2013 was when I started doing that. And so the entire time I've been helping my students set up better systems. But I never thought, oh, I should just do this as its own service. It was always paired with helping people who were coming to me for business coaching and photography coaching, if you will.
Yeah. How do you feel like you had the confidence to know and trust that it could work to open something new when what you were doing was probably like working, you've been doing it successfully for a while?
The one thing I don't lack is confidence.
Yeah, I love that.
That sounds a little bad to say out loud, but if you know me, you know I don't lack confidence. I'm also one of those people that when I decide to do something, I jokingly say I'll have it done by next week, but usually by the end of the day, like whatever it is that I've got on my mind.
That's so much, Coley.
I mean, I don't like let grass grow under a new idea. I am one of those people because I'm also very analytical. And so, you know, when I'm starting it, it's like I've thought of all these different things and I'm just ready to go. And if it doesn't work out, that's okay. But I feel like a lot of people that are, you know, business entrepreneurs, they get stuck in like that position of indecision. And the reason that they never raise their prices or grow their business or take that next step is because they feel like they have to be 100% confident before they move on. And what they don't realize is the people who are most successful in entrepreneurship are the people that don't wait until they're quote unquote ready. Like, we just go for it. We're like, okay, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll pivot and do something else.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that could be our whole interview. I'm going to keep talking. But seriously, that level of confidence, like you're saying, just taking uncertain action really is such a key of growing your business. And I think especially with creatives, we see a lot of like perfectionism where you can't do that because you need. Do you struggle with perfectionism at all? Or do you feel like that's not a thing for you?
I work towards it. I mean, but I'm also one of those people that I just know in my mind that when I launch it, it will not be perfect.
Yeah.
And whatever is wrong, I will work it out as I go. I'm also one of those people, I will say, when it comes to like launching new offers and pricing, I have always had an end goal in mind. So like if I want to charge someone $3,000 for the service, I'm never starting at $3,000. I'm picking some number that I'm comfortable with and I do three and then I raise my price and then I do three and then I raise my price. Yeah. Now, sometimes it doesn't take all of those incremental steps to get to the final price tag. You know, eventually I'm like, okay, no, it's ready for these full prices. But I've always done it to where I know in the beginning it won't be perfect. But if I don't start it and I don't get feedback, not only from myself, but from the people that I'm servicing, like I will never be able to get it where it is that I want it to go.
That's really true. And I love that of not feeling like you have to start at the end goal with the price and the product itself or offer itself. I hope that level, like that level of confidence in letting yourself be like, hey, I'm able to do this will rub off on people listening. Cause I think that's really, really helpful. Okay. Let's talk about system stuff. Cause that is your thing. And that's how I've thought of you for years now of like, you know, and we're both Dubsado people, which I think is really fun. But what do you feel like most people miss when starting to put together more formal systems in their business?
I feel like people don't know what they already know. I mean, I have a lot of people that come to me for, like, let's say my full VIP day setup. They're expecting me to do the whole thing, but the first part of that setup is like a 4-hour call where I ask you all of the questions about your business, and you are telling me processes that you don't realize that you are already doing in your business. And so I'm getting like what you're already doing, and basically I'm polishing it. I'm making suggestions. I'm, of course, making your emails and your forms better. But like, I feel like what people struggle with is confidence. Let's be honest. Let's go back to the confidence. They don't know that they're already doing processes. And if they just literally sat down with a piece of paper for like an hour and they wrote down everything that they're doing, everything that they want to do, that is the basis for systems in your business. But a lot of people, like, they look at the tech and they get caught up in the automations or, you know, all of those kinds of things, when literally everything starts with a piece of paper and a pen. And so once you get your thoughts down, the processes that you're already doing, that's when we can actually like analyze what you've been doing, take an audit of those steps that you've been doing, and figure out ways to make it better.
So with someone who is, like you're saying, they're like, I don't know, like they feel like they don't know that they have systems, and their first step is just hiring you. What would you say? They get out a piece of paper and like a whole day write down the different little systems? Okay, you do that with them.
If they hired me, we do it together. But like when I'm talking on my own podcast or I'm talking on Instagram, I'm constantly telling people, okay, decision number one, how do you want to bring people into your business? You've got a website, you've got a contact form. Like, is that where you want to start? Do you want people to give you information and then you decide if you want to work with them or you give them the next step? Or is your process schedule a call and we'll go from there? And of course, that really depends on how well your website is converting people. It depends on whether or not your audience is actually ready to work with you. But like making that base decision of, do you want to gather information or do you want to go straight to a call, is like the first step to getting systems in your business, because then you're bringing everyone into like a central location like Dubsado, where you can manage all of your clients in one spot.
Do you have a recommendation between the like letting people tell you information through the contact form versus scheduling a call, where you like prefer one over the other?
It totally depends on you, like, and not you, Elizabeth, but like the listening audience.
Yeah.
Because I actually have, I offer both on my website. Like for my photography clients, sometimes I don't want to have a call with them. Like my system is so dialed down, my proposal is so on point, that if you filled out the contact form and you said key things like, you're already aware of my price, you already know that I do documentary and not posing, I can skip all of that and just send you the proposal. Because the proposal gives you a lot of information about me. It reiterates all the things about the offer, and you can directly book from there. So like that's my process with photography. But I recommend to a lot of my photography clients, if you are someone that is not as confident in your website bringing you clients that are a good fit, that are a right fit, maybe you do need to start with a call. And then the question is, a lot of people are always like, but will a call scare people away? And I'm like, but how important is the call to you? If you won't work with anyone that doesn't have a call with you, does it really matter if you're scaring them away with the call?
Yeah.
I mean, then you're just getting more of the people that are a right fit for your business before you invest that much time and energy in them.
Yeah. And I would add that like with a call, if you did go that option, especially for a newer business owner, you might put yourself ahead of someone who like, you know, you fill out their contact form, they have no automations. And then maybe you don't hear back from that other competitor until, you know, 5 days later when they get into Dubsado or whatever they're using and see it. Or maybe they don't even have something like that. And it's instead on your website, you're saying like, you can just jump on a call with me and like schedule it. That puts you like, hey, like they're already talking to you, whereas this other person they haven't even heard back from. So I like both methods kind of depending on where you are in your business. But I love what you're saying, that like that's the starting point of like answering that question. That's so much like clarity there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I know, and we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, but like systems and automations are supposed to help us not be all overwhelmed. But, and I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of like you as in like, that's not what I do in my business, but I really like systems and automations. And I am also an analytical person. I feel like you and I have so much in common, but so because of that, I don't find it as overwhelming, even with being a creative person, because I think it's fun. But it is common for creatives to be like, oh my God, like systems and automations, like what even is that? It's overwhelming. So what? Where is a good place to start for someone who knows that they are being a bottleneck in their own business by not doing things like this? Where would be a good spot to like get going with?
So the most interesting thing is when people come to me, I mean, usually I'm doing the whole thing for them, right? But if it's just someone contacting me on Instagram, like, where should I start? I always ask people, do you have enough leads already coming into your business? Because if you have enough leads coming into your business, you might want to start with automating your inquiry processes. You know, you've got these people and you've got so many leads coming in that you can't handle them all yourself. You should start with a really good contact form that is segmenting your leads into your different offers, and then you're pushing them into your booking process automatically. But if you have a lot of clients that you're working with, but you don't have a lot of leads coming in, you may want to really work on your onboarding processes first so that you can take care of the people who are already in your like funnel, if you will. I know that's not a word that us photographers use, but inside of your business already, so that you can give them all of the information that they need, like the client questionnaire, the service reminders, the delivery emails, all of those things. And then you can slowly work on your inquiries, because that's not where you're feeling your bottleneck. If you're only getting like 3 inquiries a month, I mean, you could easily handle that manually. But if you're getting like 70 inquiries a month, and then only a handful of those people are actually working with you, that's how you choose like where to start. Now, you need it all. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like you need to start with where you have the most clients and where you're spending the most energy now, so that you can eliminate some of that time to put it forward towards either marketing or, you know, dealing with your inquiries and those kinds of things.
And that is so true that like it's depending on where the struggle is. Because you're right, if you don't have tons of inquiries, then having no major process there is fine, because you can just handle it like over email for now or whatever it is. Yeah, that's awesome. Are you looking for a strategic website you can DIY and some free Canva templates to go with it? You need to check out my recently revamped website personality quiz over at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz. You'll get a complete website personality profile to tell you how to attract your ideal clients and what they want from you design-wise, which is super helpful. And you'll also get template suggestions from my shop that go with your website personality. And the coolest thing is that as my gift to you just for taking the quiz, you'll get free Canva templates that match your website personality. And I'm not talking like 5 Instagram story graphics or something like that that you can just get for free on Canva. It's like 20 plus really well-designed Canva templates for stories or for Pinterest for absolutely free. And again, they match your website style, which is really cool. In addition, for taking the quiz, you'll get a coupon code for 10% off any website from my shop. So go to elizabethmccraby.com/quiz to take it, find out your website personality, and get your free Canva templates today. What? You said you liked this question before we hit record. So I'm like, I'm ready to hear what she says. What do we do if something can't be automated? When we think about like automating things in our business, what kind of is a solution there?
So Elizabeth and I are both Dubsado users. And I'm going to say that this is not a Dubsado answer, though. This is any CRM. I think that people get hung up on the automation part of using a CRM, and they're not focusing on the fact that it organizes and it centralizes all of your client relationships, communications, all of those good things. Now, that centralization and that organization is going to free up time for you. Even if you're not automatically sending an email, even if you're not automatically sending a booking proposal, just taking the time to create the templates so that they are ready for you to spend only 5 to 10 minutes to customize rather than creating them from scratch is still going to save you time in your business. And so I tell everyone, sometimes people come to me and they're like, Coley, like, I'm really nervous about this automation stuff. And I'm like, okay, so why don't we set up your workflows and I will add an approve button to every single thing. Now that's overkill. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's listening to me, please don't do that. Like, this is an extreme case. But like, if that's what's hanging them up from being able to use a CRM and organize their business and save time in that way, I am more than happy to set up these workflows and add an approval button to every single step, because then they feel like they have control. They feel like every time it pops up, they can go look at the email. look at the form, make sure that it's going out correctly, and then they can hit approve. And I tell you, for the very few clients that I have done this for, it has not taken them long to be like, okay, Coley, I removed all those approval buttons. Because it gets old. And once you have confidence, again, going back to that confidence, Elizabeth, once you have the confidence that everything is going to work as expected, you can kind of give up control and let the system work for you.
And I can see how some people might need just like kind of watching the flow happen with those approval buttons before they feel totally ready to like say yes to letting it run. That made me think though, we should talk about for people listening who are like, what is Dubsado? What is a CRM? Mm-hmm. Could you just define that so people know? Because there are listeners right now who are like not familiar with that. I still remember for me when I discovered Dubsado like 1,000 years ago, it feels like, but no, it was really when they were brand new. But I did not realize that there was a tool that could do that. So it was like, whoa, I didn't know that was a thing. And now it feels like, of course there is to me. But can you tell us what a CRM is?
Yeah, a CRM is a client relationship manager. And so in the case of the ones that we've already mentioned, Dubsado, HoneyBook, 17 Hats, all of those, what they're doing is they're bringing every single one of your leads and every single one of your clients into a central location so that you can organize and then communicate and like book and onboard all of your processes within one central location. And so I kind of put it to you this way because I've had a CRM forever. I mean, I barely remember what it was like before I had a CRM. Dubsado was not my first one, but basically they all do the same thing, right? Before I had a CRM, if I wanted to know if I'd sent an email to someone, I had to go to Gmail and look for their name and look. If I wanted to know if they paid my invoice, I had to go to PayPal and type in their name and look for their invoice. Basically, you have all of these pieces of client data scattered among all of these different apps. And Dubsado or 17 Hats or HoneyBook allows you to put all of them in one spot so that your invoicing, your communication, your organization, like all of it is in one place, which let's be honest, I don't know a single business owner that couldn't deal with a little extra organization in their life. We all need it.
Yeah. And those that you named are the ones of like our online business industry and like on like, you know, creative businesses, but people like realtors, they have their own version of a CRM. Yes. Like people are all doing this sort of thing in other types of businesses as well. One question for you on that though is like with a CRM, because it does do so much, it's really powerful, but it is a cost monthly or yearly to invest in one of these tools. How does someone know when it's time for them to use a CRM? Like when they have enough clients, when they have enough income and things like that, how would you say people should judge when it's time for them?
I mean, Elizabeth, I'm really bad. If you have more than five clients, you need a CRM. Like, I don't think that a CRM is negotiable. I think that even by booking one single client, depending on what your prices are. Now, I'm not saying if you're charging $50 a session for photography that maybe getting a CRM is for you. However, I mean, if you're charging sustainable prices, it doesn't matter what your industry is. It doesn't actually matter how many clients you have because like Dubsado, which we both use, is $40 a month. Guys, if you were to hire a virtual assistant, they would be $40 an hour. And a CRM saves you so much time and energy in your business. And I mean, that's another thing. When someone says, am I ready for a virtual assistant? I'm like, do you have a CRM? Have you seen how much time and energy you can save with the CRM first? And of course, doing that helps you organize your business. You get your processes in order so that then when you hire a virtual assistant, you've actually made their job easier. Because running your business is not chaotic. All of your things are not scattered everywhere. So, I mean, everybody needs a CRM. Everybody needs to spend $40 a month on a CRM.
Yeah, that's such a good definer too, because I do think a lot of people see the first hire as a virtual assistant, which might be the correct first hire. It is for a lot of people. But the first like hire before that, that's actually a software, is a CRM. Yes. So it's like that, because that's stuff that if you do hire a VA, that might be what you're getting them to do at first, which you can automate and send, and they could still even manage it or do whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of things a VA can do that involves the CRM side as well. But yeah, I love that distinction. Okay, I wanted to ask you, so you are, you're a podcaster too. You just passed 100 episodes at the time we're recording this, which is really exciting. But with your show, which is awesome, Business First Creatives, you are putting the content from it and just other content all the places. You're on YouTube, you have your podcast, you do Instagram, LinkedIn, you probably do others I'm not even thinking of right now, but you're really good at repurposing. And I would even add that like,
people should go look at your Instagram, but when I watch your videos that are from your podcast that you're like, you're doing clips. We both use Riverside for our podcast and we're doing like clips from episodes. It's like so good. I want to watch it, which sometimes those clips I feel like don't convert that well. So anyway, I just feel like you do a really great job with all this. So I would love to hear what your repurposing strategy is, how you're doing all that, and even how like automations and systems play a role in that.
Ah, awesome. Such good questions, Elizabeth. Okay. So first, let me say I used to hire an agency and this was before I had my podcast. They don't exist anymore. But I had an agency that was taking my guest episodes on like a podcast like this and was pulling the really interesting clips that I had to put them on my social media. And so that's how I started. It wasn't even with my own podcast. It was every month I would send them 5 to 12 long form pieces of content like podcasts. Instagram lives that I have done, all of those things. And they were pulling out like the really interesting bits. They were making me graphics cards. They were making me those social media videos that you love. And then I had my own podcast. And then I was like, okay, so we're just going to bump this up some more. And I will say that when it comes to content, I feel like everyone needs to know where you feel the most comfortable creating like your pillar content. So that piece of content that you're actually going to use and spread everywhere. For me, it is the podcast. For a long time, it was my blog. So for my photography business, I used to blog all the time. And that was what I used the content for on like all of my social media platforms, if you will. But like right now, what happens is, and by the way, I can't do this without my team, my fabulous podcast manager and virtual assistant.
I was going to ask you about that.
I record a podcast episode and it records in Riverside and then I put it in Descript. And then my podcast manager, Haley, goes into Descript. She edits it so that the audio and the video are staying together as she's editing. Because for me, the most important thing is putting it on YouTube as one solid video. So she does the edits. And as she goes, she is highlighting like the interesting things that I say, the interesting things that my guests say, and she is copying them into another composition. So guys, it's really easy. You just highlight it, you right click, and you say duplicate to another composition. And so then, you know, from every podcast episode, she's probably identifying like 5 or 6 video clips that are good. And then when she turns it over to my virtual assistant to make the social media videos, Sarah's going in there and she's going into Canva. She's determining like what that title will be because you need the headline. The headline's what's grabbing people. So she puts the headline on one of my graphics that's already created in Canva. She exports that graphic. She slaps it on that video. She adds the captions. And then we are scheduling everything in Metricool, which is like the second part of your question. How are we repurposing this on all of the different platforms? And that's what we're doing. So Sarah goes in. She is scheduling all the videos and all of the graphics that she's making. And in there, you can choose what platforms you want that one piece of content to go to. Now, sometimes we don't want to post it to like all 5 or 6 platforms at one time. So you can pick 2 or 3. And the really great thing about Metricool is instead of simply recycling it or reposting it, you can actually truly repurpose it in that the caption can be different. Because I talk to people on LinkedIn way differently than I talk to people on Instagram. And so being able to like change the captions is amazing because you don't want your hashtags from Instagram to be posted on your YouTube short or your LinkedIn because those hashtags just might not make sense. So, I mean, that's how I do it, you know, just in one spiel. And for my solo episodes, sometimes those don't get done because I'm recording those, I'm editing those, I'm publishing them to Buzzsprout. But every once in a while, if it's like a really good one, I will tell Sarah to run in there and pick some clips of her own so that we can post them onto Instagram and LinkedIn and YouTube Shorts and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thank you for walking us through that process with so much detail. A few questions for you. So first, with the process before you had your own show, because I think that's such a like, so people listening who don't have podcasts, like, well, there you go. That was like a great way to get some content. But with guest interviews, plenty of people don't record with video or give the video. So were you just picking interviews and content? Like, let's say you were, you know, with my show, we're using video, but let's say we weren't. Would that just be unusable, repurposable content for you? Or what would you do there?
Audiograms, girl. I mean, to me, audiograms don't perform as well as videos.
Yeah.
But also, every person is recording video. I mean, I don't know that I've ever recorded a guest episode where it wasn't in Zoom or it wasn't, you know what I mean? So even if they're not using the videos, for some people, if I know them well enough, I'd be like Dan, I've been on Dan's podcast. I was like, hey, Dan, do you save the Zoom video? Can you just send that over to me so that I can get some content from it? And his ended up being like one of the best, because in his episode, I talked all about like automated communication and like how you personalize your emails. That was one of my favorite guest episodes to have repurposed. And I was really sad because the audio quality on it wasn't as great, because that's why you and I use Riverside, because the audio quality is just so much better than when you record in Zoom. And granted, this was also a few years ago. Zoom's gotten better. But I will either directly ask them if they have the video and if I can have it. And I even tell them, if you want, I won't use any of, you know, none of you. But like, can I clip it to the part of me and my video and my face so that I can use it? But other than that, just listening to it and actually getting those like juicy clips, even if I didn't end up putting them on an audiogram, they make great graphics for Instagram, like quote cards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, I was sending them everything and anything that I could. I even sent in like a few guest teachings, like when I would do like a seminar or something for like a summit. Like, you know, they're not going to post the whole thing, but like, I'm sure that there's little clips that I said in there that was like, you know, really insightful. And so they would go and they would pull those clips and make them into quote cards or make them into a video or an audiogram if it was appropriate. Because I will say, a lot of the time when I'm teaching, it's really not appropriate to make a video out of it, because you've got your, you know, you're sharing slides and you're like this tiny, tiny bit in the corner. It looks really weird. So those ended up being mostly audiograms, even though we had the video.
So with that, if you were teaching in someone else's program, would you be asking them still for that? And have you ever had any pushback of like, no, this was paid content because it's a membership or anything like that?
So if it's paid content, I don't ask.
Okay. But if it was a clip, I feel like you could still ask, because it almost could be a promotion for their membership or whatever it was. So what were you going to say though? You were going to say something else.
Oh no, it's just, I mean, like, I've never actually done it for a paid membership. Although I guess technically Sabrina's, she gave me the videos, like my bestie Sabrina Gephardt. I have taught in her roundtable membership several times and I have those videos. When she gave them to me though, I already had my podcast. And so that is what we are making a majority of our social media content from. But like, if I had done that before I had my own podcast, I definitely would have sent it to them. Because again, even if I don't use the audio bit, like just knowing what I said and putting it on a quote card and saying, you know, this is a bit from when I spoke in Sabrina Gebhardt's roundtable membership. You should check it out. I mean, sorry, I'm not trying to advertise for her, but it's the best example that I have. But I mean, I would be happy to do that, because not only does it like highlight something really great that I said, but it's also, it's giving me visibility and authority.
Yeah.
Because just knowing that I have taught in her membership, in her mastermind, makes other people want to contact me to do the same thing for their group programs and memberships.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for listeners, think about how much, guys, like your visibility, like you just said, expertise can grow if you're just taking the stuff you're already doing and making it into like reusable content. Yes. I also wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you'll tell people, like if you're asking them for their podcast content or whatever it was when you were on their show, that I'll do the clip without you in it. Like if they prefer, do you have people say like, no, yes, I don't want me in it, only use yourself? Or is it more just like they don't care?
This was like 2-3 years ago. I don't know that I ever had anybody that just flat out told me no.
Okay.
But I do think that there's a difference between people like you and I who know that we're going to use the video. We warn everyone that we're going to use the video. So I think
that's a good point.
Like, in essence, people show up as their best selves. I mean, they don't show up in like a t-shirt and like, you know. So I do think that there were a few times where people were like, oh, but I look so terrible. I mean, they didn't tell me no. But like, I could tell that the idea of putting them in video when they didn't intend for the video to ever be shown kind of made them uncomfortable. I do think in those cases, I didn't use them. It also really depends on like how the conversation is going, because there were quite a few clips where the agency that I hired was just focusing on what I said, because in its entirety, it got the point across. But there's other times where like it didn't make sense without hearing the question that you asked. So you either include the host asking the question and then you giving the answer, or you have to just take the question that they asked and like that's your headline so that it can give you some context for what it is that I was saying in the video clip.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm like, I need to start doing that because I do lots of interviews on other shows mm-hmm. and it does sometimes feel like, okay, I did the interview. Now it's out there. I shared it a little bit like on stories when I was told it was live. And that's like mm-hmm. as far as it goes. And it's like, how can you make it bigger yes. when you do interviews? Just because that is time you're using. So
it is. And I do want to say, I have two suggestions for you. And yeah. I totally volunteer as tribute, just by the way. First, you talk about yourself and your offers on someone else's podcast very differently than you talk about it on your own. Even mm-hmm. if you do solo episodes,
yeah.
there is something about having that interaction with someone when they ask you about your offers, your excitement, like you talk about it in a different way. So number one, repurposing your guest episodes is a great start. But number two, what I've actually done, and you mentioned my episode 100, I literally just did this. Yeah. I have decided that every quarter I am going to have a guest host on my podcast to ask me the questions that I typically ask or that I get asked on other people's podcasts. Yeah. It puts it in a different frame of mind. Your audience gets to know more about you, where you are not like asking the questions of your guests. You're not highlighting mm-hmm. them. They're asking you and you are getting to like be a guest on your own show. And yeah. so Elizabeth, I do highly recommend that you try that. It is yeah. amazing to be on the other side of the microphone on your own podcast because they do get a taste of how yeah. you are on other people's podcasts.
Yeah, those are awesome points. And I did that for my 100th episode, but that was like, nice. That was like 140 like, episodes ago. Yeah, so I'm like, you're right, I should do that again. But I agree. It's like, yeah, you're talking. Yeah, I love what you said too about how you talk about your own offers differently on someone else's podcast because you're talking to a new audience. But on your own mm-hmm. podcast, you see it as like they already know, which is something yes. we need to remember as people
podcast. Some people don't.
Yeah, like you always are getting new listeners. So you need to keep that in mind as you do content the way I've even experienced that for myself. I've started posting some on TikTok mm-hmm. and I show up differently there because I feel like everyone, I'm like, I'm the new girl here. No one knows me, but on Instagram, I talk about things differently, like almost assuming people understand. So
yes.
yeah, so good to remember. Yeah. I love that strategy. When we were talking about repurposing stuff that you said on maybe someone else's podcast, or if you were teaching in someone's membership or something, one thought I would add for people too, that's a great way to get maybe more like a reel, just like not from your computer, but just a piece of content you could share mm-hmm. is setting up your phone and just like recording yourself like the whole time you're doing it. Yep. Are you doing that right now?
I'm not doing it now, okay. honestly, because I forgot, Elizabeth, but like normally I do. And like sometimes, like I forgot for this, when I'm yeah. done, I will probably set it up and record myself and just pretend that I was talking to you. I'm going to be honest, guys. That's what I do sometimes. Yes. And I forget to set it up before we start.
Oh my gosh. We are being the same person. So I have mine set up right now. And actually, when we first came on and you and I were just chatting before recording for like 5 minutes, I did a time-lapse video of myself talking. And I'm like, yes, that's great B-roll content. But yeah, like you were saying, I was going to add that like, I actually taught, you were on the call in Jordan Gill's membership a few weeks ago
yes.
about podcasting. And I, you know, it was a panel. So I was not the one answering questions the whole time. So every time it was my turn, like I knew it was about to be my turn, I turned on my phone to record and I got clips of me answering questions. So mm-hmm. it's like, and I gave those to my social media manager and she's going to hopefully make some of those into some kind of clips. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's just another idea of like, just make what you're doing work for you instead of it being like this one thing that only had one purpose.
And so I'm just going to add one thing. Yeah. If you end up doing that, remember, like Elizabeth just said, she did a time lapse. Well, there's no audio in a time lapse, but if you go into that episode or that clip of whatever it is, and you pull the audio in case you did a time lapse, you can always make your audio a clip from a podcast mm-hmm. episode or a clip from you teaching over you typing on your computer or doing a time lapse, doing something else. And then you can also make it into like a great reel content if you're like, you know, popping up your bullet points or whatever.
Yeah.
So don't think that every time you make a piece of content that it has to be used in its entirety the way that you recorded it. There's lots of ways that you can take great audio from something else and put it over a different video. I do that a lot with Disneyland. I mean, you guys don't want to hear the kids screaming around me when they're on the rides, but if I take the video of me on a ride at Disneyland and I take audio of me talking about building a business that works for your life yeah. or, you know, any of those kind of pie in the sky things that I sometimes say randomly on a podcast, that mixed with like a good call to action on that video. It's just great content that loves to get reshared. I mean, everybody loves to look at me on a Disney ride. I don't know. It's like a thing.
Yeah. And that's true that like that kind of B-roll content with something else that's more like relevant to whatever it is you're trying to do your business does really well. I have a whole folder, another just tip on B-roll for people. I have a shared folder. Well, actually, I have one with my podcast manager too, but I have one with my social media manager, a shared folder. We call it Elizabeth's B-roll. And I just constantly am trying to make clips of myself that we can use. And I put them all in that folder. And sometimes it is stuff like you're saying, like at Disney, only I haven't been to Disney in a long time, so it would not be Disney for me. But stuff like that, that's like family stuff. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's stuff like me working. So yeah, such good stuff. So as you can probably tell, Coley and I are both Dubsado fanatics. My business would truly not be where it is today if I hadn't started using Dubsado about seven, eight-ish years ago now in my business. Dubsado allows you to put your clients and leads all into one place and seamlessly do things like send contracts, invoices, accept payments, make and send questionnaires, send emails to clients, sort your leads, and so much more. You can use the code Elizabeth30 to get 30% off your Dubsado subscription, either the first month or the first year, 30% savings after your free trial using my affiliate code. And you can also go to elizabethmccravey.com/dubsado to learn more. That's D-U-B-S-A-D-O to learn more. Now, back to the episode. Okay, do you have anything else on that point, though, about repurposing content that we didn't say?
Just that everyone should be doing it. Like, can I just say that again for the listening audience? I mean, and one of the things that you and I didn't really talk about, I mean, we're both very analytical people, but I don't know if you actually look at your analytics. If you figure out that a post does really well on Instagram or on LinkedIn or on TikTok or wherever it is that you're posting it, that piece of content or that particular message should be reshared again, whether it is a straight repost where you're like, okay, 6 months later, exact same video, exact same caption. Let's see if it does just as well this time. Or if it's like the topic that's really great and you slightly change your caption and you post it again. I mean, everyone should be paying attention to what actually gets people to engage with your content on Instagram or whichever social media platform you post on most.
Yeah, that's you can literally just with Instagram, look at your insights, look at the last, you can change it to 30 days, year, and then rank it by different things. You could be like, I want to see the one with the most comments. I want to see the one with the most views. Yeah, those that's saves. So smart. Oh, yeah.
I feel like the saves is the one that people, because, you know, you don't see a saved on your feed. Do you know what I mean? Like you only see the likes or the comments. But if you look in the back end and you're looking at which ones people are saving, I mean, that's something that people intend to go back to, even if they don't. So what do those posts have in common that have the most saves for you? And see if you can't replicate that in some more content.
Yeah. And that's where it comes back to like remembering that not everyone sees every single thing you do. Yes. 'Cause you could feel like, well, I already did a reel on that. So like, would that, why would I do it again? It's like, you can do it from a different angle and different people are going to see, or maybe the same people are going to see it and be like, oh yeah, I saved that video last time she talked about this and I never did anything with it. So yeah. And I'm with you that repurposing is huge. I have one more repurposing question for you. Okay. For people who are like, I hear you, Coley, repurposing is awesome, but you have a team. Elizabeth has a team. How would you say someone should start repurposing when they don't have a team yet? It's not in the cards, but like they can only do a little bit because of that. Maybe they're more limited. Like what would you say they should prioritize? You might not be able to answer that because I get that's kind of different business over business, but I'd be curious what you would think.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, guys, I didn't have a team for a while. I will say, I tell everyone this. I did my own podcast, the entire thing by myself for 4 months. And I did it because I learned so much about the way that I was talking to people, the way that I was phrasing things, the way that I was editing things. Like it took me a good 4 months and it helped me improve. Like I feel like my interviewing skills got better because if I didn't listen to myself, like if I just handed it over to an editor and she edited out all the bad stuff and I didn't realize, like it really helped me figure out how to be on my podcast. So I did it all by myself for 4 months. And I will say I was very anti-descript. Very anti-descript. It's like, I have Premiere Pro. I do not need that garbage. Guys, Descript, you can download whatever your content is, maybe from Instagram, maybe from whatever. You put it in Descript, it's automatically giving you the transcript, which you can just read to get to the part where it's talking about the topic that you know you want to highlight. you highlight it, you put it in another composition, and then you export that video. Like, you can change the dimensions and stuff. But I mean, it literally takes less than 5 minutes to make a video into Scrubs. And so you don't need a team. I mean, I have a team because I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
But I could totally still manage this. Me giving up my podcast wasn't because I couldn't do it. And it wasn't because I didn't like doing it. Yeah. It was just, I sat down and I was like, okay, these hours that I'm spending editing these podcasts is not making me any money. So maybe I should pay someone to do this so that I can do other activities that actually make me money. But I mean, and like I said, I still edit my own solos. And my 100th episode had a really tight turnaround. We recorded it on a Monday and it went live on a Wednesday. And so I don't like to put pressure like that on my podcast manager. So I edited that episode myself. Yeah. So I will still jump in and do it now, even though I have a team. So you can too.
Yeah.
That was my point.
Yeah. I love that perspective because, well, first of all, it's so true that like when you don't ever listen to your own stuff, you're really missing an easy opportunity for improvement. I hate listening to myself interview people because of what you're saying of like, you see ways that you should improve. And I'm like, oh, I should have said that differently. I have an easier time listening to my solo episodes because I think I'm stronger as a solo podcaster than I am on interviews because interviews are so complex and there's always so many areas to improve. But I do make a point to listen to my own interviews, even though I don't edit them myself. Mm-hmm. Not every time, but I try to listen, especially to ones where I'm like, oof, that was a good one. Like this one, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna come back to it. I'm gonna listen to it. But also listen for ways to improve. So that's super helpful. And I'll add too, for people who you're like, for whatever reason, you don't want to listen to your own interviews, but you do want to be like, hey, how can I improve as an interviewer? Get the transcript from the interview and read it and watch the way you interact between questions. Because there's a lot you can see as like you pivot topics of like ways to improve. I know, again, for me, there's so many ways I can improve between like changing questions, changing topics. And I can see that like when I read a transcript for an episode. But yeah, I love that encouragement. And I edited my first 3 episodes myself, so way less than what you did. Mm-hmm. But I was similar of like, I want to know how this works. I want to hear myself, like how this sounds. And I remember my first 3 episodes I edited myself. I edited out like every It was like, I was like,
I don't do that.
I was like, no, I know my editor has not done that. And I say less now than I used to, but I had a lot of like little.
But that is one of the things though, Elizabeth. Yes. Like when you, sometimes you don't know, like I say guys, I mean, I am still working on not saying guys every 4. I'm trying to say y'all, but that's just not really working.
Oh,
but like sometimes you don't know what that word is that you say over and over again until you listen to yourself over and over again.
Yeah, I've actually been this week working on the solo episode module for my new podcast course, which will already be out by the time this airs. I know it's so fun, but I have a whole lesson on that of like that thing of how we have filler words and working on that because that is, and listening to yourself is a huge way to do that. So, okay, I have one more question for you on the automations and system stuff. And then I want to talk about Booked Out Designer because you're in Booked Out Designer and then some fun rapid fire questions. So we kind of have in this episode title about reclaiming your life as part of the pros of automating. I know we've also talked so much about repurposing, which is just huge. But what advice would you have for listeners on truly reclaiming their lives from their business? Because I know I struggle with this even as someone who I think I do a good job of work-life balance, but it's like, it's so easy to just work. Because we can, because as business owners, you may have left a 9-to-5, but now you've joined a workforce where you, there's always something to do. Like you are your own boss. You could always create a new thing. You can always repurpose more stuff. I mean, there's always something to do. So how do you force the pause and focus on other fulfilling things in life?
I mean, you guys, if you don't follow me on Instagram, you know, for a while I was going to Disneyland every single month from Colorado. Yes, I flew every single month. And the thing is, I would never have been able, I mean, and I still wouldn't be able to take the trips that I take if I didn't have the confidence that my Dubsado systems were doing the work for me behind the scenes. I remember, like, as a newbie photographer, newbie business owner, every time someone inquired with me and I would, like, first of all, I was always checking my phone. I don't do that anymore, but I was always checking my phone for new inquiries because I felt like I had to respond to them in 10 minutes. Like, I felt like I personally had to get on my phone or on my computer and like respond to them in an email. I don't do that anymore because Dubsado does that for me. Yeah. And I know that Elizabeth is like a huge proponent. She calls it the fast follow-up. I call it the automated lead response, but everyone should have this set up regardless what your CRM is, so that when someone inquires in your business, there is not a gap in between when they have expressed interest and when you are actually giving them a response. By giving them that automated lead response, you are giving them a high level of service. It's acknowledging that you got their inquiry. It's giving them information that you think might be relevant. And then I always recommend to photographers that you give them some blog posts of sessions that are similar to whatever they chose from the dropdown, so that they can get engaged with more of your content, even if it takes you another 12 hours to respond to them, because maybe they sent you an inquiry at like 6 p.m. at night and you won't be at your office desk until 9 a.m. the next morning. That is okay. No one should continue to feel the need to immediately respond to people when we can have automations and robots that work in the back to do that for you. And so to me, that's I can't tell you how much stress it releases and how much I don't feel the anxiety of needing to respond to every single thing, because I know that if someone inquires in my business, they're getting the information. And I will also say, I'm at a point in my business where if someone inquires at 6 o'clock at night and I send them that great auto response, and by 9 a.m. the next morning, they've already booked someone else, well, they're probably not the person for me. They didn't love my work, because my work is pretty unique when it comes to photography. They didn't love my work enough to wait. Probably not the best fit for me. And that's okay. I mean, not everybody is in that position, but I think a big part of reclaiming your life is having confidence in a little bit of automated systems that can help you spend less time in your business and more time outside your business.
Yeah. Trusting that like what you have set up is going to take care of things, and that people can be patient a little bit on responses and stuff.
Yes.
I give that exact same advice to designers of like in that automated email, putting a link to some blog post or relevant content to whichever one of your services they've reached out about. But something some people forget as you think about why that email is important, they may have emailed you and like 10 other people that do the same thing as you at the same time. Like they might have that day been like, it was on their calendar. They're going to spend an hour researching photographers and contact all of them. And they might forget they contacted you. Like they've looked at 10 other websites or maybe 20. And so when you get yourself back in their inbox like that with some links back to your own stuff, like they're going to remember you alongside other people who they also reached out to. So even besides the helpfulness of like the communication, I think that's a good thing to remember. So yeah, it's truly excellent advice. Thank you, Coley. So okay, I wanted to ask you just like one or two questions about Booked Out Designer. So you joined Booked Out Designer, even though you're not a brand new website designer, which I love. And like, there's quite a few people in the program who are not designers, but I'm curious what made you make that decision? And then also how has Booked Out Designer helped you as a non-designer?
So first of all, when Elizabeth released this, I think you had 30 or 40 beta spots. I don't remember how many it was. I was in the first group. I wanted to make sure. I set an alarm for the next day to get into her class. And I will say, just what I loved most about Booked Out Designer is that it is a holistic approach to basically running any service business, any one-to-one service business. Even though Elizabeth's expertise is creating website design, you know, and I don't do that. I love websites. I will say that though. That's probably why I joined Booked Out Designer. Like I love websites. I love talking about websites. I love auditing websites. I just don't want to design it for you because I don't have very many design bones in my body. But Booked Out Designer was super amazing, like from beginning to end. And the thing that I love most is I think that a lot of people who offer courses stick to like one angle of their expertise. So in the case of like website design, if she was telling you like how to price yourself, how to set up your website, how to do the onboarding and the booking, like that's one thing. But I love that Elizabeth also teaches you about marketing, which is like that hidden gem. It's that one thing that no one really thinks about when they open their own business. But marketing is like one of the most important activities that you will do inside your business, whether you are doing it or you are paying someone else to help you do it. Like if you don't market, you will not have clients. And there are very few businesses that is not true for. So how it's helped my business. I mean, I think that when I went through, it was a lot of confirmation, because when you offered Booked Out Designer, I think I had just switched to doing the Dubsado setups as a VIP day, like as a one-to-one service. I think that those happened almost simultaneously. And so going through Booked Out Designer with the lens of, okay, I'm not designing people's websites, but I'm designing their client experience inside of their CRM. And so if I look at all these things that Elizabeth is telling me to do, which ones am I already doing? Which ones is there definitely room for improvement on? And then just in the end, making sure that those little tidbits about marketing, because again, up until then, I knew how to get photography clients. I knew how to get photographers that I was going to coach. But now I was going to be setting up systems, not just for photographers who I was intimately, knowledgeable about, but creative entrepreneurs as a whole. And so that portion of the course was just super, super helpful to me.
I love that. And I love hearing how it worked with you as not a designer. And you are good at website stuff, though, like you said. I know you've used,
but not you have designing,
some of my add-on templates that you've done a good job on, right? I think you have at least one of them.
I do.
Yeah. And I love your website. So that's really cool. What module or part of Booked Out Designer would you say was most helpful to you?
So module 3, networking to book dream clients. I think that networking or referral partnering is one of the most underutilized marketing things that you can do for your business. And it is just as simple as getting yourself in the places where the ideal clients for you hang out. I mean, and to be honest, Booked Out Designer is that for me. All of these website designers need to have onboarding processes. They need to have CRMs that are working for them. And so that part, you have a couple different lessons in there, about how to network inside of Facebook groups that are not your own. And, just making sure that you are using Instagram or whatever social media platform, is on your heart. And then also the guest blogging, the speaking, the podcast. Not many people are talking about being a guest on a podcast for visibility, for getting in front of your ideal client audience. And so I loved, it's in module 3, it's lesson 6, how to pitch yourself. Because that is something that a lot of people struggle with, is crafting that pitch to make sure that you are going after podcast guest episodes, blogging, guest speaking, and people's memberships for audiences that are aligned for you, but also making it very clear to the host or the person who owns the membership, what kind of value you are going to bring to their audience. Because it has to be a two-way street.
Yeah.
It can't just be, hey, let me come into your membership and pitch my services. Everyone is going to tell you no. That is not what's going to get you in the door. But if you can let them know what their audience will take away from your guest speaking, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. And I feel like Elizabeth does a really good job of helping you frame that inside the course.
Thank you. Well, I love having you Booked Out Designer. You are I feel like you bring so much value to the group with all of your knowledge. As everyone's, you could be in a group with Coley if you want to join and ask her questions too. But really, you have so much expertise, and I love seeing all the things you do in the group and on coaching calls and stuff. Okay. So I have a few rapid fire questions for you. First question, what advice would you have for someone who's in a clients and booking drought right now in their business, and they're just not getting inquiries and not booking clients, which I know is a really
visibility.
Common thing
right now. Yeah, visibility. And making sure that you're marketing, and this is going to sound really silly, but making sure that you're asking for the sale. I did an entire series on my podcast in August on marketing and branding. And one of the most important lessons that I wanted everyone to walk away with is you actually have to ask for the sale. And I want everyone to have a calendar, and every post where you ask for the sale, mark it down, so that if you look at the end and you're like, oh, I only asked for the sale one time, that's why you ain't got no leads. That's why you don't have any booked clients, because you do have to actually tell people, this is how you work with me. Click this link to inquire. You do have to talk to them like they're kindergartners. I mean, there's no way around that.
And for people with podcasts or other forms of content like that, you've got to ask for the sale on that too with your free content. That's a mistake I see a lot of podcasters make, is you never talk about your own stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What is one habit you think has made the biggest impact or difference in your business?
I struggle with this, guys, but back when Chloe was still in elementary school before the pandemic hit, I had a rule. I turned my computer off every day at 2:30 when I left to pick her up. Now, then during COVID, that wasn't possible because I was homeschooling and she was virtual schooling and like I was working longer than I should. But if you are in a place where you can set a time limit for your work every day and you legitimately put your phone in do not disturb, you turn your computer off. Like that's a habit that I am desperately trying to get back to now.
Yeah. That's, you're right. That's such a great habit. And the turning off of things really makes it stick, or removing the apps if it's like, you know, your inbox app or whatever on your phone. Love that. Okay. Will you tell everyone where they can find you and about your podcast and all of that stuff?
All right, everyone. I have two different websites, so don't go to the photography one unless you live in Denver and you have a brand new baby that I can hug on. But my main website is coleyjames.com, and that's where I have all of the information about my Dubsado system setups, my course, my template shop, and also has links to the podcast, which is Business First Creatives. I would love to have you over there because if you love the things that Elizabeth talks about, I mean, Elizabeth and I talk about very similar topics most of the time, just with our different, you know, infusion of personality into them. So that's where you can find me on the internet.
Yeah. And I've been listening to your podcast and it's excellent. And yes, the Dubsado templates, that's something everyone really needs to hear you say. Can you talk a little bit more about your templates?
In 2023, I have made a shift. I was all about giving people like a holistic transformation in their business. So hire me for a VIP day. I will completely revamp your systems in the back end of your business. And I've just realized a lot of us right now just don't have the headspace for that. So I have taken some of like my most popular trainings and created toolkits inside of the DIY System Shop is its new name. But if you go in there, I have all kinds of one-click Dubsado templates if you're a Dubsado user, where I have a proposal where you can click it and it ends up in your account. And within an hour, you can have it customized for your offer and ready to go. But I feel like what was missing when I was originally just selling templates is that I wasn't giving you the strategy to know how to customize and implement them properly. And my teacher brain just had a hard time letting go. So now almost every toolkit has at least 2 to 3 very short videos to tell you why it's created the way that it is and how you can customize it for whatever offer it is that you have.
Yes, I love your template show. I know we talked about it some on Booked Out Designer calls, and I've enjoyed watching you like bring it live this year.
Well, you were my inspiration. I was like, I want to have templates like Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, and I love how Dubsado lets people, I don't know how long they've had that as like a thing where you can make templates like that. I mean, I guess it's been a while.
Well, you have to be a certified specialist in order to get them, but
I know I have 1,000 years ago, literally it feels like back on how I've been using Dubsado 1,000 years, I think I made them some templates that they had because they had their own template shop a long time ago. I don't think it's a thing anymore, but anyway, that's awesome. Yeah. So everyone go check that out. We'll link to all that in the show notes. And thank you so much. I mean, I learned a lot from you, got so many new ideas. I know listeners did as well.
Thank you for having me, Elizabeth. It was a blast, and I cannot literally wait for our next recording where you are going to be on Business First Creatives.
I love that. I'm excited. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode all the way until the end. I appreciate you being here. And if you enjoyed this episode, then I want to invite you to check out my website template shop too. Over on ElizabethMcCravey.com, you'll find show it website templates that are easy to use, strategically designed, and created to help you book more clients and customers. Maybe your current website is really boring. Maybe it's a challenge to update. And maybe even it's that thing that you really feel like is just completely holding your business back. Your website needs to be strategically and intentionally designed in order for it to convert your viewers into raving customers. And that's exactly what my M-Shop templates do. So these are pre-made show it website templates where you can plug and play your content into it with ease and then get started with a website that's designed to actually help you make more money. These templates are designed to be SEO friendly on the back end, and they're not just pretty, but they are very strategic and with all the strategies I teach on this podcast. And best of all, they're easy for you to set up all by yourself.
So shop them at elizabethmccravey.com/shop and come join the M-Shop family of hundreds of happy customers. And as an added perk, you can use the code BBPODCAST at checkout to get 10% off any template as a thank you for being a part of the podcast family. So that's BBPODCAST for 10% off any template over at elizabethmccravey.com. And if you love this podcast, don't forget that you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And leave a rating and review for the show wherever you're listening. Share it with a friend. Share it on Instagram or Facebook. That's a great way to support the podcast and get the word out. All right, I'll be back next week with another new episode.